Hello, welcome to the Because Family Podcast. This is Michael Prince from becausefamily.org from upstate New York. We're doing seminars in Saratoga Springs, staying with some friends. Now, we are going to be doing an interview. Actually, we're the ones being interviewed. Melinda and I spent some time with John Wilkerson from the Wired Homeschool Podcast. And we talked about homeschooling on the road. We talked about our ministry. We talked about living on the road in an RV and what it's all about. And we answered some questions that we've heard from people as we travel. So we thought it'd be cool to just make this podcast or this interview available to our podcast listeners as well. So we're going to get to that in just one hot second. But real briefly, I want to just thank you to our newest Patreon supporter, Kevin Russell. We are grateful. Apparently, this ministry or this podcast is supported by Kevin's only. So if your name's Kevin, Kevin Hagen and Kevin Russell already support us. If your name's Kevin, what are you doing? Go to patreon.com/becausefamily and partner with us as we spread the word about parents being the first influence in the lives of their children. Patreon.com/becausefamily. All of our ministry information is at becausefamily.org. That's also where this podcast is located. We got some other episodes coming up. We spent some time in Niagara Falls. We had some craziness with a breakdown and death in the family and some stuff that we're going to kind of update you on so you'd understand why we missed a week of the daily podcast episodes. We're going to try to make those up. But right now, I want to get to that interview. So, again, it's patreon.com/becausefamily. And it's becausefamily.org for all the other information. And without any further ado, here's our interview with John Wilkerson at the Wired Homeschool.
Well, Michael and Melinda, welcome to the Wired Homeschool.
Thank you. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Visible in front of me.
We're in meat space. We exist.
Yes. Yeah.
You're not just a voice.
No. So for those of you who don't know, Michael has been podcasting for
6 years.
Six years. And we did an interview once. Mm-hmm. About your book that came out.
Yes.
What's the name of the book again?
What's in Your Pocket? Parents' Guide to Protecting Your Children Online.
There we go.
Yeah.
And you should get it. It's only $10.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on Amazon.com, and you can just look for What's in Your Pocket, and it's the one after the giraffe one. Or kangaroo.
Yeah.
It's a kangaroo with a little kid in the pouch. And like a little baby kangaroo in its pouch. And then the one after that, that's our book.
There you go. But we're not going to talk about the book today. Today we're going to talk about living in an RV and homeschooling in an RV and what that transition was like for you all 3 years ago or 2 years ago?
It was only one.
Really? Yeah, only a year ago?
Yeah, in our second year. So it was June was 1 year. June 25th was 1 year since we bought the motorhome. We moved out like the 1st of June of the house.
The last week of May, we moved into a friend's one-room apartment off their house. And so...
While we shopped for the right RV.
Is when we technically moved out of the house.
Moved out of the house. So I'm going to ask Melinda first because she's probably like the one who does most of the homeschooling, I bet. Because that's usually the way it goes.
No? Like, yeah, we have a unique way of doing things. I am good with writing down what we need to do, and he's very good at getting them to execute it.
Yeah.
All right.
So we do this. It's like she's the lesson planner, because I will not lesson plan. And then if there is not a lesson plan, I just won't do anything. You know. So she'll do lesson planning, and we did some of that on the drive up to New York from Missouri.
Planner book.
And I'll execute it. So I'll sit down with them or have them sit down. And I get a character because my kids are young, you know. So I'll get a character. I pull my glasses down and I'm Mr. Teacher. And I tell them to get their work done and do this whole stupid thing. And it for the younger ones, it works. And then, you know, and it usually lasts the first little bit of the school working day. And then it's just me helping them do their stuff if they need it. But yeah, it... it is basically her planning it all out, making sure we get the right stuff done, uh-huh. and then I kind of jump in and help them get
and then actually I go back through and
motivate them to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So what changed from we're living in a house and homeschooling to now we're in an RV and homeschooling?
I think one of the biggest things is our opportunity to do outside of book work type things, outside of worksheets and in the home type things, because since we've been able to travel all around the country, we have a membership to a Discovery Center Science Center that gets us into about 300 different museums all around the country. And so if it's a big city, there's a good chance that we can get into one. And so we've been to 12 or 13 different ones this year, and they've been able to learn everything from natural history to just science type things, and then we've kind of built on that in what we do in the RV. We'll talk about the things that they learned and actually saw and had a hands-on experience with at the museum.
You have a great story about the first day of school this year.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we are so just blessed with the unique situation that we have, because our technically first day of school, that's pretty fluid in our world, but all the people back in Missouri were posting all their pictures of their kids on their first day of school, about ready to leave, and they've got their little signs like you do, and they're sending them off to their first day of school where they're going to do whatever they do at school, I don't know. And our kids, we took them to Niagara Falls because we were in New York. And
so we went and we learned about the geology of Niagara Falls and the glaciers, and we learned about, you know, and I actually took a couple notes while the guy in the trolley was telling us about things we drove by. And I took a couple notes so that I could, on the way walking back to the RV when we were done, I asked them questions. And I was like, okay, so what's the name of the bridge that gets you into Canada? Okay, what are the names of the two waterfalls? How did this waterfall form in the first place? And Jason said a glacier, is that what it is? But what is that? And so I got to explain to him what that was. But so our first day of school was Niagara Falls, like that experience of going to, and they learned. Jason was blown away.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
That there was another country right across the water.
He could see Canada.
He's like, I can see those buildings over there are in Canada. Those people in the red ponchos got on that boat in Canada, and it blew his mind. And so, like, you know, I'm thinking, hey, my kid's learning geography. Don't tell him he's learning geography. But it was really neat, you know, because I've told him, they've asked me, what are the countries are closest to America? And I've told them, you know, Mexico or Canada. And they still, because we're in Missouri, which is right in the big fat middle of the country, that it's a hard for them to, like, just wrap their minds around what that is. But, you know, 6 months ago, we were in El Paso, Texas, where the mountains you see are in Mexico. And then this week, we were in Niagara Falls, New York, where just across the water is Canada. So they've been able to experience those two things. It's been pretty cool.
That's great. What's one of the biggest challenges you face homeschooling in an RV?
Stuff. You don't have room for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, right. When we first decided we were going to homeschool, we'd go to the homeschool conventions and we'd come home with a curriculum or something that we really thought was cool. We got this math curriculum that, you know, was, I don't remember what it's called, but they're not a sponsor of your show, so we don't have to say it. But we, you know, they would, it's like the Japanese method of, or Asian method of doing math, and it was the seeing groups of 10 instead of seeing, and we thought that was interesting. And
Matthew C?
Something like that.
Right start math.
Okay. Something like that. Yeah. Might be something that might be an interesting way, because I had trouble with math, she had trouble with math. Maybe as we learn and teach our kids, we can learn better too. Mm-hmm. But it had a bin or two full of stuff.
Yeah, it's
you
a
needed
whole bin
to have,
full of stuff.
You know, and then, you know, some of the curriculum type stuff we got, we just can't take with us.
Right.
And so we while a lot of people are, you know, doing the science projects or they're getting this stuff out so they can do the math, you know, the big abacuses or the scales for measurements or whatever, we have to be a little more unique or creative with how we teach those things, because we don't have the space or the the space for the stuff or the space to actually do those activities sometimes in our RV. And as well as the space for kids to go, like, sit alone somewhere and do book work and just do their thing, you know. Usually everyone's just got to sit around the table, and we're there. And if the kids are doing schoolwork, we have to be helping them or doing something that's low-key enough that they can just do their schoolwork,
right,
you know.
Right. So. Have you been to any of the, like, the road schooling conventions where people get together with it in all their RVs and
have
a convention?
We haven't yet. You know, because we're doing our ministry trying to get this thing going, so we're kind of, where we go right now is just kind of steered by that. But I've definitely had my finger on the pulse of some of the things that are going on like that.
There was a group that came to Branson.
Yeah, where we're from, which that would be
like
kind of boring.
A year ago.
To go to take your RV.
That's kind of weird. To
take your RV to the RV campground across the town you're from to do a convention. But we could have. We were just gone when they were there, weren't we?
I think it was when my sister was
That's
in
it.
Town.
We had family
It was like
in town.
A year ago and it just wasn't.
So
we just
haven't
started
yet.
Too, and so it wasn't really.
But we definitely would be.
Have
interested.
You met up with other road schoolers at all, or have you been able to yet? Or
no, not yet. Mm-hmm. Not yet. There's a few people we're interested in. Like there's something called the Unschool Bus. I don't know if you've heard of
it. I'm familiar with it,
and that fascinates us. You know, because of the museums and that kind of thing, we kind of have this eclectic unschool. Homeschool, tech school, kind of.
Yeah, we don't really
blend.
Fit in one category.
We don't fit. We're not. You know, we don't pay whatever a month to get this. And that's another thing. The curriculum, the expense of curriculum for us is unique because my job works is we live off generosity of people. So like, we can't always just go and spend a whole bunch of money every year to start the year of school for now our two kids who are that age where you do that for 2 out of 4.
And one of the issues with that too is we have bought curriculum and it hasn't always worked for the kid. And so it's like really difficult to spend $50 to $200 or more dollars on something that doesn't actually work for them. And maybe somebody else will use it down the road. But I don't want to invest in something like that.
The only thing is, like, something like Sing, Spell, Read, and Write has been good for 3 of our children so far. Even Brenna, the 4, almost 5-year-old, writes letters now. Some of them backwards, but because Sing, Spell, Read, and Write... She's 4, though.
Yeah.
But Sing, Spell, Read, and Write has helped her with that. You know,
sure.
And my other two are reading. Our 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old, reads, and Jason reads really well. And that... That and our interest in reading, I think, has really helped them. So some things have worked. But some things like math and some of that stuff, we're just like, there's good apps for iPad that we can use to help you practice these things, you know. Or there's ways to buy. We've found books at thrift stores.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the cool road school things. Like, we were at a thrift store in Columbus, Mississippi, and it's huge.
Oh, it's like a Walmart, this place. It's gigantic.
They've got a whole book section, and all their books are like 50 cents. Like,
Whoa.
You go someplace, and it's like $2 or $3, $4
They're super
proud
of their books.
But this place is like, they're always getting donations, so they have to get their stuff turned over pretty quickly. And last year, we found a U.S. facts book that Jason
basically
loved.
Social studies.
And
sure.
Then this year we found a math book. We haven't really looked into it too much, but 50 cents. You can't go wrong.
No.
Even if it doesn't work.
But it was that was his entire social studies last year. It was the U.S. fact book. They went through every state, a bunch of different facts about each state with activities in it. And he really enjoyed it, and he finished it through that school year. And
the beauty of that, I don't know, for anyone out there that might have been homeschooled themselves, and you had siblings, and your mom got a book, and there was no... writing in that book.
That's right.
Maybe you got copies, but more likely you had one of those like projector, clear projector things.
That's
that
hilarious.
You used a dry erase marker to write in on it.
You did that?
Yes.
That's great.
And I was the youngest, but even at the youngest, she's like, I can resell this. Uh-huh. And so I didn't even get to write into it. So I felt good about, 50 cents. You get to write all over that thing, buddy. Write all over it.
So you're a second generation homeschooler.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
My entire, from kindergarten up, I started when I was, 3 or 4 because my brother and sister were doing it. So we started early. But yes, I am And I went to college, people, so
graduated. Summa cum laude.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. 3.5 years.
And I went to public school, and I didn't go to college. I went to Bible school a little bit.
There you go.
Got credentials. Well,
what's some of the tech that you guys are using in your homeschool? Because there has to be tech, because in order to conserve space, that's really kind of the best way to conserve space is use technology.
Use the use gigabyte storage instead of cabinet storage.
Yeah.
Yeah. We use apps on the iPad. We actually have, we're blessed. I bought an iPad a few years ago, and we were blessed with her mom getting an iPad, a new one, so giving us their iPad too. So we have a couple of old iPads that could barely handle the apps we put on them, you know, on the hardware. But we use Splash Math, which is designed for practicing what you learn, but it's really been good for the older two, the kindergarten, you know, Olivia's entire kindergarten math, not entire, but all her practicing and just, she was completing the tasks and earning the little fish and stuff for her aquarium.
It's a fun app. It's just really cute.
Math. Yeah. So that's good. There's a few apps that we use like that. And then, YouTube, we use YouTube a lot. One of my favorite things is to go, like we go somewhere. We were at the, in Alamogordo, New Mexico, near White Sands, where they had they tested all the rockets for the first space missions and moon missions. We were there, and we went to the New Mexico Museum of Space History or whatever, and we learned all about the astronauts, and then we sat down with YouTube, and we watched the videos of the astronauts on the space stations.
Well, we were looking at the packets of food, and so we pulled up a YouTube video of a guy, like, in the last year or two, whatever, that he posted a video of him eating or doing certain things up in space.
You know,
and
so we're able to show them those videos of here's, you know, or the, this is actually, I think, one of the best examples of YouTube helping us. Our engine, we had engine trouble getting up here to New York, and we had a misfiring cylinder, which now I know what that is, and, the kids were asking me how the engine even works in the first place.
Sure.
So I know how, because I helped build one in seventh grade, a small engine or something. I took a class, so I kind of knew how and explained it. And then I was like, wait a second. And I showed them an animation of it on YouTube so they could see the pistons, you know, the pistons in the cylinders firing and see how the gas and the oil mixtures explode in the cylinders. And it was a V10 engine in our motorhome, so they got to see a V10 engine firing. Nice. On YouTube. And so my almost seven-year-old and my almost nine-year-old, whatever version of that they can understand, they do now. Like, they've got an idea of how the engine that drives us everywhere we go in our RV works because of YouTube just having that available.
It's amazing how YouTube went from a couple of guys in a garage.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to post, the first video was like them at the zoo or something like that. And now, there's like this whole section of education on YouTube. Yeah. And
it's amazing.
I mean, you could almost do all your homeschooling off of YouTube if you wanted to.
I don't know how much I can say like this, but on your podcast, but there's all these people who pay so much for these DVD curriculums, you know? And I'm like, I can find guys talking about that same stuff on YouTube
and doing a
great job and telling you the right thing and probably a little more exciting, you know, to watch.
I've seen some of those DVDs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I can watch these, we can watch these lectures, you know, and even as an adult, like I watch TED Talks all the time. I use TED Talks in my teaching, some of the stuff I've learned from TED Talks in the teachings that we do in our ministry, because as new technology comes out that they talk about in these things and as, you know, neuroscience and some of that kind of stuff that some of them talk about in the TED Talks, it really benefits us. So even as an adult, I'm being educated through YouTube. So it makes total sense that we should use it with our kids as well.
Yeah.
Well, just us being here, our kids sat down with your kids and they watched
The drawing.
Art for Kids Hub.
YouTube. And they all sat here and they had like two or three drawings already.
Yeah, turtles and tanks and a little Spartan soldier or something.
Yep.
So the YouTube, the apps that we use like that. What other technology?
Netflix. We do Netflix and Amazon Prime and stuff for whatever they have on there. I mean, some of the stuff they've taken off, but like we love Brain Games and when they had the How the Shape States.
How the states got their shape.
stuff like that. And, of course, like, for the little ones, the Super Y and...
Daniel Tiger.
And
some, but then...
Not a lot, but...
They don't sit and just stare at the...
No.
You know,
but... One that I do use regularly is Wildcrats. We've sat down, we watched a couple Wildcrats,
right.
And then I turn it off, and I pull up a picture of whatever animal they were talking about, and I'll have them draw it, and I'll have them, like, write a sentence or something about... that animal, whatever, it's something that they learned, and that's been a big one that they really have enjoyed because they
really,
like the animals.
And it's a really good, I think it's really interesting way to learn about different animals and stuff because it's a fun. I even like the stories and I like the jokes in the show. Yeah. So, and another one is Odd Squad. I don't know if you've ever seen
Odd Squad. No.
But I laugh till I cry at some of the jokes. It's a math show on PBS. And it's these kids that are like in a secret agency where they go fix all the odd things that happen. And it's really funny. But anyway, nice. So that's kind of the shows and things that we use. And as far as apps, are there any other like technology other than the iPad?
You're really dependent on your smartphones.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Big time.
Yeah,
big time. Yeah. And you know, because we don't always have Wi-Fi.
Right.
So if we're gonna do YouTube. It's on the phone most of the time. If we are somewhere with Wi-Fi, you know, we'll use the laptop. But we only have one laptop, so if I need to do work, we got to use a phone or an iPad. She just got an iPad. Melinda just got an iPad that has data. So we can use it if we have to. We don't very often, but... But a
kids
lot
like
of,
watching Google Maps as we drive.
They love watching Google Maps while we drive down the road. It's really interesting. And they'll, you know... They know, they've learned what the signs, like different color signs mean as we drive.
Mm-hmm.
So the blue signs, Jason's like, oh, we're almost in a city. I see blue signs because the blue signs are like civilization.
Right.
You know, the brown signs are usually something like parks, like state, national parks.
Or historical
stuff. Yellow signs, so they've learned that kind of stuff. So that's kind of fun. And just unique things that you don't, you know, kids don't think about learning, but... So Google Maps is one that's helpful, and they enjoy it, that. So that makes it fun that they like it, you know. And that's kind of something that we're so far since they're so young, they're not old enough yet to be like you have to get this stuff done. You know, right now it's like okay, they're really into this right whatever it is right now. So let's just capitalize on their interest in it,
sure.
And we'll just overload them with knowledge about these things while they're interested. Or we're in New York, and there are battlegrounds around here from the Revolutionary War. There's historical buildings. There's things like that. Let's just inundate them with information about how that stuff works while it's here and it's
right.
Part of our life. You know, when we were in, I remember driving through New Mexico and all the mountains in New Mexico, there's no trees or grass. So you just see the layers of rock in the mountains. And Olivia said something about it. And I started telling them how that got formed, you know, and just explaining the story of geology, how that all works. And I finished kind of explaining it, and Olivia goes, Daddy, did you just homeschool us? I said, yes, I did, and you're welcome, you know. But that's something that we've learned with how we do it is taking advantage of those opportunities. When you have an opportunity to teach something, don't miss it, because whether it's a few minutes to sit down with Splash Math for them to go through their math, or whether it's them asking questions to where you can answer them, or whether it's, you know, driving by a historical marker on the highway that you know is probably about a topic they'd be interested in,
right.
You stop and you take the time to talk about it.
And as far as technology, more than us giving something to them to do that's technological, they'll ask a question and I Google it. Because
sure.
I don't, you know,
sure.
just to make sure that I'm giving them the proper answer. So as far as tech, I probably am using it more and then talking to them about it. But I double check. They'll ask a random question and I'm like, oh, let me look that up.
Yeah.
We do use Google... some for Jason if we're around. We haven't in a while, but we've used him to let him ask how to spell things.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah,
the Google voice search.
Sure.
So he'll say, tap? How do you spell, you know, I don't know. Can't think of a word.
Like scepter.
How do you spell scepter? Sure. How do you spell Mountain Dew? You know,
and then it literally says it.
You sure. know, it speaks back to him. So he and I know that's good because you see it, you write it, you hear it. It's good for your.
Right.
So we use that for him. Have in the past. Lately, we've been letting him spell it wrong, and then we make him go back and fix it later because that's also a good way to do it.
But when I first upgraded this laptop that I'm pointing to over here that you all can't see because you're listening to us,
I saw
it had Cortana on it.
Okay.
And my son Noah figured out how to use Cortana, and so they would. And it's got a microphone on it, obviously. And so they'd start asking Cortana questions.
That's funny.
It was very interesting. Yeah. Well, you all are at my house for a week.
Yes.
And you're on a kind of East Coast mission trip.
Yeah.
And there are people on the East Coast who listen to this podcast. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and have you speak at their church or their youth organization or whatever, how would they do that?
You can email us. becausefamily@gmail.com. becausefamily is all one word. Our website's becausefamily.org. On Facebook, you can just search Because Family and we'll come up probably the first option if you just make sure it's all one word, Because Family. And man, and all, you know, we're on Instagram and Twitter and all the things.
All the things.
So, you know, just Because Family. Google Because Family, all one word, and we're most likely, in my experience, and some of that might be cookies, you know, built in my browser. But in my experience, we usually are the one or top first or second result is us.
And how much longer are you going to be on the East Coast so people can get a little
bit of We'll be leaving the East Coast sometime like the third week of September, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
you got a month.
Yeah, we got about a month.
A month to arrange things.
And I've got stuff going on this week, as you know.
Yeah.
But I can do ministry as far as speaking in at your church or a Sunday school class or a small group or your homeschool group or MOPS group or preschool group or whatever, as well as just meeting with church leadership or leadership like that about future stuff to talk. I'd love to do that as well, just drinking some coffee and introducing what we do to people.
Yeah, especially you homeschool groups. You know, he talks about how we parents need to be the number one influencers on our children. And the school year is starting, and this is the best time to start. If you feel like you're not the number one influence, now's the time to start.
Yeah, totally.
And tomorrow's the time to start. And then day after that's the time to start.
Again.
Yeah. You know, just always start again. Michael and Melinda, first of all, thank you for being in our home
and putting up with our family. Thank you for opening your home and for feeding us pizza.
You're welcome.
And for having your daughter cart our 2-year-old around all the time.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him in 2 days.
No. It's been wonderful having you here. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Of course.
And we definitely need to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you very much for listening to that and for checking us out, Because Family Podcast. Tell your friends about us. Tell your friends who are parents, hey, I listen to this podcast and it's really helping me get some information about raising my kids in this current culture we live in. Tell your friends. Get us some more listeners. Go to iTunes and leave a review. If you do that, it helps other people see our podcast. It helps iTunes maybe put us on some of the featured stuff. It's tough in the family ministry realm to be featured in iTunes because there's so many family podcasts out there. But you know what? I feel like we offer a perspective that so many do not, and so that's why we're still doing what we do. So again, you can visit us at becausefamily.org, that's YouTube, but we do have a YouTube channel, all the things. You can leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe on iTunes to help strengthen our presence there. And if you don't use iTunes to listen to us, if you use something else, send me an email at kmichaelprince@gmail.com or becausefamily@gmail.com and let us know what it is that you use to listen to the podcast so we can do some maybe things to make it a little easier for you. So thank you very much. God bless you. And we'll see you next time on the Because Family Podcast.
kid. My brother was a good kid. We knew God. My dad was a minister, and we grew up in a Christian household. But all of the good my mom did, all of the positive influence in my life, all it took was a few college hockey players to teach me how to act the wrong way. Kids are marketed to now like never before. They're marketed to from all these different brands. And we have to understand that influence is a resource. And like any other resource, we can run out of it. We can use it up or allow it to be used up by other things. And there's a scale, there's a balance of the influence in our kids' lives. And if we don't pay attention to the influence in our kids' lives, you're going to see the balance get tipped towards the culture's way, the society's way, and not the Word of God, and not the way we've been called to raise our kids. And as parents, if we don't know how to protect them from the dangers in their pocket, we cannot be the first influence in their lives. It's not possible anymore. It's not possible. Nothing's more important than living for Jesus in front of your kids. And what that means is the way you treat the guy who cuts you off in traffic. The way you treat the cashier at Walmart when she's super slow because she wants to chat with everybody. How would Jesus treat her? How you treat the server who's having a terrible day and so she doesn't do a very good job and you don't want to tip her anything. But how do you tip her? Your kids see that stuff. They see how you treat your wife when you're unhappy and how you settle arguments or don't. A relationship with Jesus Christ that causes us to adopt his way of life is real. It's life-altering. And if we're going to live for Jesus in front of our children, we have to know him. So I want everybody to stand.
For information about a Because Family seminar, email me at becausefamily@gmail.com and check out becausefamily.org.